Hey, good morning. Thanks for coming, everybody. Okay, so they gave me this pretty broad theme of Geula, which means a lot of things to a lot of people. To me, when we talk about Geula, we're talking about the process through which we are taken from our current places in Galut and brought back to Eretz Yisrael. And so I want to learn with you for a little while, first about Hashem's promise of the land to us, and we're going to use the psukim and the mefarshim to take us through the generations, and we're going to get to Medina Yisrael, and we're going to talk about why it's called Reshit Smichat Geulatenu. All right, Hashem first designates Eretz Yisrael as a land that holds promise in Source 1, in your packets, which is the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha. And Avram is told to go there because he would receive many brachot. So Hashem tells him, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Ve'avarechecha, I will bless you. Ve'agad l'shemecha, I will make your name great. Ve'ye bracha, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, umekalelcha aor, those who curse you, I will curse, v'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama, and through you, all of the families in the land will be blessed. And then in Pasuk Dalet, we see, vayelach Avram ka'ashir diberi lav Hashem. Avram went just as Hashem had commanded him to. And in Pasuk Vav, he arrives in Shechem, which is approximately the halfway point from where he started, in the north in his father's land. It's about halfway to the bottom of what we know as biblical Israel. And it's in Shechem that Hashem makes his first promise of the land to Avram. In Pasuk Zion, Hashem appears to Avram. He says, Lizaracha etein et ha'aretz hazot, I will give this land to your descendants. And according to Rashi in Source 2, Vayiven sham mizbeach, Avram built a mizbeach there. That's the piece from the pasuk. Al b'sorat hazera v'al b'sorat Eretz Yisrael. Avram is so grateful to learn that not only is he going to have children, but also that he and they are going to inherit the land, that he builds a mizbeach. And then we have a couple of events in Avram's story. He and Sarai go to Mitzrayim. They're trying to avoid a famine. Lot moves to Sodom. And then we get to Perek Yud Gimel. And in Perek Yud Gimel, we have two psukim where Hashem promises the land to Avram once again. So Source 3. V'Hashem amar el Avram acharei hipared Lot me'imo. Hashem said to Avram after Lot had separated from him, Sa na einacha ure'e. I'm going to translate na according to Rashi here, which means please. Please look and see min hamakom asher atasham, from the place where you are. Safona v'negba v'kedma v'yama, you're going to look in all directions. Ki et kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh, because all of the land that you see, l'cha et nena, I will give to you, u'lizaracha ad olam, and to your descendants forever. And then he continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin, I'm sorry, I forgot to put it on your source sheet. He continues in Pasuk Yud Zayin, and he says, kum hi talech ba'aretz, get up and walk through the land. L'arka l'rachba, it's length and its width, ki l'cha et nena, I'm going to give it to you. And then the Kliyakar, and I'm sorry, I don't know how big they copied it. Sefaria tends to copy very, very big on their source sheet. So Source 4 might be like 5 pages long. And I'm going to jump in and out of it and go to different sources in between. So up to you how much you actually want to follow along in there. But the Kliyakar asks the following questions. He asks 4 questions. Question number 1. At first, Hashem tells Avram that he should look at the land because Hashem's going to give him all the land that he can see. So it sounds like he's going to acquire it by looking at it. But then Hashem tells him to get up and walk through the land because Hashem is going to give him the land that he walks through. So it sounds like he needs to go and physically possess it. So which one is it? Right? Does acquisition happen by seeing the land, or does acquisition happen by traveling through the land? Question 2. When Hashem tells him to look at the land, he says the land is going to be given to Avraham and to his descendants forever. But when he says to walk through it, he just says, I'm going to give it to you. There's no mention of descendants, and there's no mention of forever. Question 3. When Hashem tells Avraham to acquire the land, By looking at it, he says, please. But when he tells him to go through it, he doesn't say please. And if you look in Source 5, which is Parshat Va'etchanan, you have Moshe asking Hashem to enter the land. So Moshe actually does the opposite. When he says, I want to walk through it, Moshe says, please. But when he says he wants to see it, he doesn't say please. And question 4 of the Kliyakar, Hashem says Avram should look at the place from where he is standing, right? Look at it from the place where you are, which seems a little ridiculous because I can't look at all of you from over there because that's not where I am, right? It has to be from the place where you are. He can't look from somewhere he's not. And so, if you want to jump to the part of the Kliyakar, it's labeled Bet or 2, he begins his answer there. He explains that we acquire two types of shleimut, two types of perfection in Eretz Yisrael. There's physical shleimut, which we get from walking through the land and enjoying all of the wonderful things that it has to offer. And then there's the spiritual shleimut, which we can only get by standing in Yerushalayim and looking at the spot on Har HaBayit where the Beit HaMikdash stands. And he's going to explain, even when there isn't a Beit HaMikdash physically standing, we can still get that. So he says like this. He says, Kol HaMistakel B'makom HaKadosh Ahu. Do you have it bolded? I hope you have it bolded. Okay. Kol HaMistakel B'makom HaKadosh Ahu. Anyone who looks at this holy place, Miyad Nitlabesh Ruach Tahara Ukdosha, is immediately enveloped with a spirit of Kedusha and Tahara. I hate translating Tahara because it's not a translatable word. Umelech Elyon Biofio Yitbarach Techazena Einav. Right? And when he gets there, it is as if he is gazing at Hashem in all of his glory. Uveriya lechud ske la'adam liknot hashleimut hahu b'makom asher karalo Avraham Hashem Yera'eh. This type of shleimut, this type of perfection, can only be achieved by a person seeing the place that Avraham called Hashem Yera'eh, right? Ki kiderech sheba lirot. Just like when a person goes there, he is going to see Kavod Hashem, kach ba leiraot. He is also coming there to be seen by Hashem. Ki miyad bivo'o shama, kishem shehashchina ro'eh oto, kach hu ro'eh pnei hashchina. Because immediately when you come there, just like the Shechina sees you, you are seen by the Shechina. Umiyad na'aseh mushpa umutzal v'dabek v'ziv shechinato yitbarach me'en olam haba. And the person who gets there is immediately influenced and cloaked and attached to the radiance of the Shechina of Hashem in a way that is like Olam Haba. And this spirituality, this level, is only achieved by seeing the place. And once Avraham acquires this, it belongs to him and to his descendants forever. It is not something that can be taken away. Achieving closeness to Hashem and feeling the spiritual perfection of Eretz Yisrael is for all of us. And when Hashem wants Avraham to accept this, Hashem says, please, Avraham, please take this spiritual perfection. He wants us to have it. The physical, though, can only be felt and achieved and acquired by physically going and walking through the land. You can't experience floating in the Yam HaMelech if you're standing over here as beautiful as it looks. Hashem doesn't have to ask a person to please take physical gifts. That's what we're wired to do. We are physical animals. So there's no nah when Avraham is told to walk through the land. Moshe has the opposite. He says, Hashem, please let me cross into the land. Let me enjoy all of the physical gifts. But Moshe doesn't have to beg Hashem to give him the spiritual because Hashem wants us to have it. Right? And so in source 6, you see Hashem doesn't allow Moshe to enter the land, but he says, Ale Rosh HaPisgah, go up to Rosh HaPisgah, Visa Einacha Yama Vitzafona Vitaimana Umizracha. He tells Moshe, similar to Avraham, look in all directions. Ure'e Be'einacha, see it with your eyes. Kilo Ta'avora Ta'yardein Hazeh. So you can have that spiritual perfection that you're looking for, but you can't get the physical. Hashem wants to give that spirituality to anybody who wants it. And then, sorry, back to source 4. The last set of bolded words, it's marked with a gimel or a 3. V'to'elet ruchani zeh lo yasir mizar'o ad olam. The spiritual benefit, as we said, is never going to be removed from the descendants of Avraham. Ki af bizman shebeit hamikdash shalemata eino bevinyano. Even when the Beit HaMikdash in this world does not exist, Mikol Makom HaBeit HaMikdash Shel Lema'ala HaMechuvan Negdo Nitzchi Lo Yasur L'Olam. There is a Beit HaMikdash in Shamayim, which is parallel to the place of the Beit HaMikdash in this world, and that is eternal. Hashem doesn't remove that. So the availability of that spirituality is always there. Ubechol zman yored mimenu hashefa al zera Avraham hamikudash. Its abundance of kedusha always descends upon the descendants of Avraham. Umitam zeh shleimim, and that's what makes us whole. V'chein rabim. Nichsifa nafsham la'amod b'makom hakadosh hahu, ki ratzu et avanaha. This is why so many people are spiritually drawn to stand in this holy place, because they want its stones, right? And I get emotional thinking about it because I'm a Kirshner and that's how we work. But it's so true. Like last time I was at the Kotel, I didn't want to leave, and I was there for just so long. And as I was leaving, I bumped into my other sister, and she had just gotten to Israel, and we saw each other, and we were crying, and like, it's a bunch of stones. Why are we like, but it's not about the stone. It's about what you're there to achieve, right? And I couldn't leave Israel. I had to go back. It's like, we want to be there, but why do we want to be there? Because we have, even though we don't have the Beit HaMikdash Shalemata, we do have Beit HaMikdash Shalemala. So, now you know, right? That's the famous story Rabbi Pesach Kron tells. I'm like, looking at time. I want to make sure I have time for this. Rabbi Pesach Kron tells this beautiful story when they got the Kotel back in 67, and you know everybody's crying and dancing and you know so happy that there were two Chiloni soldiers who were watching. They were watching the proceedings, and one of them started crying, and the other one said, "Lama ata boche?" Like, why are you crying? And the guy who's crying said, "Ani boche al ma she'ani lo boche." Right? I don't know what there is to cry about. That's so sad to me. I really do. I get emotional. I'm sorry, everybody. All right. Anyway, after this promise, Avram travels to Eloni Mamre, and he builds a mizbeach. And Hashem again promises Avram children in the next parak, and he says that Avram will inherit the land. And then Avram asks what many mefarshim consider to be a very fatal question. Source 7, Vayomar, Avram said, Hashem Elokim, Bama Eda Ki Irashena. He says, Hashem, how, with what will I know that I'm going to inherit the land? He asks for a sign. He asks for a brit, right? An agreement. You do this, I'll do that. He's asking for a contract that guarantees this promise of the land. So Hashem has Avram do what's known as the brit bein habitarim. Source 8, Hashem lays out what we have to do, descendants of Avram. What do we have to do to get the land? Vayomer la'Avram, Hashem said to Avram, Yadoa teida, you should know, ki geri yezaracha ba'aretz lo lahem. Your zera, go from singular to plural, you'll see why in a second, your zera will be a stranger in a land that does not belong to them. Va'avadum v'inuotam, they will enslave them and they will oppress them. And that whole process is going to last arba me'ot shana, for 400 years. and this is important for our purposes, also the nation that will enslave them, the nation that they will serve, I, Hashem, will judge. And then after that, they'll go out with great wealth. Okay, so in Hashem is telling Avram that before his descendants can get the land, they have to go through a period of galut first. Those of you who like math, source 9, Rashi says, he gives you all the math for it, the 400 years that Hashem describes here begin with the birth of Yitzhak and end with the Jews leaving Mitzrayim. But unfortunately, as we know and as we live, Mitzrayim is not the final galut. Every time the Jewish people sin to the point that they are exiled, they need to earn the land back. They need to correct their behavior through teshuvah. And the Mefarshim say that we actually have a hint to the four future galiot that Bnei Yisrael are going to have to go through in this original brit with Avraham Avinu. In source 10, so Rashi is quoting a very famous medrash. Hashem doesn't say gamet hagoy asher ya'avodu. He says v'gamet hagoy. V'gam, the word v'gam, and also lirabot arba malchuyot, includes, it suggests that the four nations, the four kingdoms that put us into galut are going to be judged as well. She'af hein kalim al she'abdu et Yisrael. Right, so the added bav is used here to tell us that the four kingdoms that are described in greater detail in Sefer Daniel, highly recommend learning that, will also perish because they enslaved Bnei Yisrael. Okay, quick review, because it's a lot of stuff to get to more big stuff. So four major points so far. One, Avram is promised that he and his descendants are going to inherit the land. Two, we're always able to go there and reap spiritual benefits and achieve spiritual perfection, whether we have a Beit HaMikdash or not. Three, we need to go through a period of galut before the original promise is fulfilled. And four, once we are actually in Israel, when we sin and need to fix our relationship with Hashem, we go through additional periods of galut before we can earn the land back. All right? But we get to next. As we see, as soon as we can go in and settle Eretz Yisrael, we must go in and settle Eretz Yisrael, whether we've experienced the full ge'ula or not. This is from last week's parsha. For my Israel gap year, I went to Orot, which is a teacher's college in Elkana. Would be what's called Zionistic in the vernacular. There's a pasuk that they made us memorize, and they didn't only make us memorize the words, they made us memorize where it is. And they gave us a term to remember it. It's called Lag Nag, because it is Bamidbar Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Nun Gimel. So everybody should always remember Lag Nag. Source 11, V'horashem et ha'aretz, V'yishav temba. You will inherit the land, and you will settle in it. Ki lachem natati et ha'aretz l'rashet ota. Because Hashem says, I have given you the land to inherit it. And Ramban in source 14, I'm sure drashas that you heard this week, you were probably emphasize this Ramban. The Ramban tells us unequivocally, al da'ati, in my opinion, zo mitzvat asei hi. This is a mitzvat asei. Yitzave otam sheyeshvu ba'aretz v'yirshu ota. Hashem commands Bnei Yisrael to settle the land and inherit it. Ki hi nitzna lahem, ki hu nitzna lahem, because it was given to them. V'lo yim asu b'nachalat Hashem. And so we shouldn't despise, we shouldn't reject the nachala that Hashem gave us. V'yachzir ha-mitzvah hazo b'mkomot rabim. And this mitzvah is repeated in many places. For example, in Devarim Perek Aleph, Bo'u u'rishu et ha'aretz. We're told, come and possess the land. And then Nechama Leibowitz, who I think you have right underneath the Ramban, she takes it a step further. She says that Ramban takes Rambam to task for not including the mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael as a separate mitzvah. Like Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvot, he doesn't put settling and inheriting Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. So Ramban writes, and this is a quote from the Nechama Leibowitz piece, "We've been commanded in the Torah to take possession of the land which Hashem granted to our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and not to leave it in the hands of others, and not to allow it to remain desolate. A proof that this is a special mitzvah, meaning its own mitzvah, can be adduced from Hashem's order to the Meraglim. Hashem tells them, go up and possess it as Hashem has spoken to you. Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. When they refuse to go up, it says you rebelled against the word of Hashem." Right? In order to rebel, you have to be violating a mitzvah. Right? This indicates that we're dealing with a specific mitzvah and not just a promise. And if you jump to the last paragraph, this mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah not to leave the land desolate, not to leave the land in the hands of others, applies for all time, even during Galut. Residence in Eretz Yisrael is equal in weight to all mitzvot in the Torah. And when we learn that with the Ha'amek Davar in Source 15, Darshu B'Kiddushin Daf Chafav, the rabbis in the Gemara and Kiddushin explain this to mean, Bama Torishu, how will you inherit the land? B'Yeshiva, by settling in it. Right? If we want to have it, if we want to experience Geula, we need to settle in it. So we have a mitzvah d'oraita to settle in Eretz Yisrael as soon as we have the opportunity to do it. And it's equal in significance to every other mitzvah. And by settling in it, we begin to inherit it because we're demonstrating to Hashem that we are ready for Galut to end. We are seizing the opportunity to begin our Geula through this Yerusha. We also learn in many places, this is actually a whole fun separate shir, that Brit Milah is inherently connected to inheriting Eretz Yisrael, which is why Yehoshua is told before they go into fight in Yericho that every male has to get a Brit Milah before they begin to conquer the land. But we have an issue because Abraham had more than one child, and there's another nation that comes from Avraham that also has Brit Milah, right? We know B'nai Ishmael give themselves Brit Milah at 13 because Ishmael himself willingly had a Brit Milah when he was 13 years old. The sheet that I gave you, if anybody's missing, I've got a couple of extras. This is the Zohar. They don't have Zohar on Safaria yet, so it's not on your source sheet. I'm sorry. We're starting on this side, and we're starting the paragraph that's marked Reish Bet. And we're going to do Reish Bet and Reish Gimel at the bottom. The top is the Zohar, and the original, the bottom, is the translation. The Zohar writes, and this is coming from a whole different discussion between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chia, that the Zohar quotes before. Oy la'oto hazman shenolad Yishmael ba'olam v'nimo. Woe is to us for the time that Yishmael was born and had his Brit Milah. Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu klapei ta'anat hasar shel Yishmael. The sar of Yishmael, Yishmael's guardian angel, came to Hashem and argued on behalf of Yishmael, because that's what guardian angels do, and the sar said to Hashem, it's not fair. Yishmael also has a Brit Milah. Why are B'nai Yitzchak getting favored in a way that B'nai Yishmael are not when Yishmael did the same thing? So, what does Hashem do to address this argument by Yishmael's guardian angel? Hirchik et B'nai Yishmael mitzveku ta'alyon. He says, okay, Yishmael can't have the Brit, in its true meaning, the way that B'nai Yitzchak have it. But v'natan lahem chelek lemata be'eret hakdosha bishvil hamila shebahem. Right? But he gave B'nai Yishmael a chelek in Eretz Yisrael because they have a Brit Milah. So we do have B'nai Yishmael who live in Eretz Yisrael. The next paragraph. Va'atidim b'nei Yishmael lishlot al eretz hakdosha zman harbei. In the future, the Zohar writes, in the future, b'nei Yishmael will rule over Eretz Yisrael for a long time. B'sha'a shehi reika mikol, while it is empty of everything. Kimo shehamila shelahem hi reika b'li shlemut. Just like their mila is empty of its intended meaning. V'heim ye'akvu et b'nei Yisrael lashuv limkomam. They will delay b'nei Yisrael from returning to their place. Ad sheyishalim hazichut shel b'nei Yishmael. Until their zichut for having their brit milah is complete. And really, that's what happened. Right? Before B'nai Israel, before the Jewish people started coming back to Israel in the 1870s, what was Israel? What was the land? It was desert. There was nothing there. But we came back and we created irrigation systems and we created farming systems. And all of a sudden, it's this beautiful, flourishing land. And yet, we're still prevented from having the land. But ultimately, the Zohar writes, it's an interesting ways that I've heard this explained. This last paragraph here, he says, "Atidim b'nei Yishmael le'orer milchamot gedolot be'olam." In the future, and again, this is the Zohar writing. You're talking a long time ago. He wrote, "In the future, b'nei Yishmael will instigate great wars in the world. V'yit asfu b'nei Edom aleihem, and b'nei Edom, the descendants of Esav, will fight against them." A lot of sources that talk about America as the epitome of what is represented by Edom against this whole beautiful shir. I have 10 minutes left. I'm sorry. You have to take my word for it for now. B'nei Edom and B'nei Yishmael are going to have wars. Achat al hayam, one on the sea, v'achat al hayabasha, one on dry land, v'achat samuch l'Yerushalayim, and one near Yerushalayim. V'yim shalu elu al elu, the kind of balance of power will go back and forth, but ultimately, Eretz HaKadosha lo timaser livnei Edom. Ultimately, B'nai Edom really never have control over Israel. It's always B'nai Yishmael. And ultimately, in the next paragraph, the Zohar writes, B'nai Yishmael will be defeated. We will remain as Am Hashem. I have one more source to learn with you about Medina Yisrael, and that's source 16. It comes from Sefer Micha. Micha Hanavi has the following nevuah. He says, V'ata Migdal Eder, Ofel Bat Zion, you Migdal Eder, who's the outpost of Zion, Adecha teta, it will come to you. Uva'a hamemshala harishona, mamlechet levat Yerushalayim. The first government shall return, the kingship of Yerushalayim. Malbim explains like this, source 17. Umifaresh shezeh yeh b'shalosh madregot. The reestablishment of Malchut Beit David is going to happen in three parts. Tchila, Bat Zion, Adecha, Teta. Shehagaliot yatchilu lihitkabetz. The galut Yehuda uvinyamin, shehem Bat Zion, shegalu mitzion b'churban bayit sheni, yitkabtzu elecha. First, right, the exiles will begin to gather together, and those who were exiled from Yehuda and Binyamin in the time of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash will begin to return to Tzion. V'achar kach, and after that, after the exiles begin to return, uva'a hamemshala harishona, the first malchut, or the first government is going to come back. It's a memshala, it's not a malchut. Tavo memshala kitana, she'yelahem kitzat memshala, v'hanhaga, kimo shehayu liYisrael b'yamim harishonim lifnei malach, lifnei Yisrael, So they're going to have a small government, which will be ruled a bit like the Jews were ruled before they had a monarchy. Shahayalahem shoftim manhigim otam. They had shoftim leading them. V'achar kach, final stage, tavo mamlechet levat Yerushalayim. After that, you have mamlecha. You have a monarchy. Yalahem malchut kavua, shehu malchut beit David. Right. So finally is the establishment of Malchut Beit David, where Mashiach rules permanently. So you do have this stage of Memshala, of a government in Israel, which is not Malchut Beit David. V'chein hitba'er b'Yechezkel v'Amos. He learns this about these stages in leading up to Mashiach in Yechezkel and Amos also. And you have the sources there, Yechezkel, Lamed Dalet, and Lamed Vav, and Amos, Perek Tet. Shamalchut Beit David titgale b'hadracha. Malchut Beit David will be revealed in stages. Utzchila lo yeh rak b'madregat shofet. So first you're just going to have this level of shofet, this level of government. Right, and then slowly it's going to rise, it's going to be established until Hashem has the Malchut, which we know is how Yemot HaMashiach is described, right? Vahaya Hashem. Oh my gosh. L'melech ha'kol ha'aretz b'yom ha'u yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Thank you so much. We've got my daughter here. She's here to help me. But this, for those who were wondering, this is why we call Medinat Yisrael the Reishit, the beginning of Tzmichat Geulatenu. It's the beginning of the Geula flourishing. After we began our return and we started to settle it, then we established our first primary government there. And so that's why, especially, you know, this time of year, it's really, it's a huge tefillah that, okay, we have this government there, but we hope that this Reishit Smicha becomes the full Geula. Thank you for coming, everyone.